Welcome to Alaska's Native Voice from the Alaska Airlines Center in Anchorage for the Native Youth Olympic Games. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. And joining me today is Jill Freitas with KMBA and also Asuluk Nichols. I hope I pronounced that right. Go ahead and please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Asuluk Nichols. I'm from Nome. Happy to be here today.
And Jill, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Kailak, everyone. Good morning, and I'm very excited about this year.
Well, the Native Youth Olympic Games, there's students. There's more than 460 athletes here with more than 50 teams from across the state, and they're going to be taking part in games this week, the toe kick, the wrist carry, and the Alaskan high kick, also scissor broad jump, the stick pull, two-foot high kick, kneel jump, and seal hop. They're also going to be honoring graduates and the students for all their hard work. Jill, why don't you start off and just tell us a little bit about, you're a former athlete as well. Can you tell us what you like about NYO?
Sure. The first thing I have to say is probably the energy you walk in. And every single year, I think people mention it. You just walk in. There's so many kids. They're excited coming from small rural villages, you know, and coming to see their friends they haven't seen in probably a year. Looking at all the different uniforms and seeing all the amazing fans. And they just took out the banners. And that's one of my favorite things to watch every single year. And yeah, all of the activities. It's the same energy as I remember whenever I was in high school.
I guess what my favorite part is the sense of community, you know, between the athletes, the coaches, the judges. Everybody's here to help you, even if they know you're going to beat them. They just want you to do your best, and that's what got me hooked on the games about over 20 years ago.
And can you talk a little bit about being an athlete? What is that like?
It's, you know, I've done different sports in high school and, you know, through my adult years, and, you know, there's just nothing like it. You go out there and, I don't know, for me, I was never nervous for an NYO competition. I just knew that I had everybody's support and that, you know, I'd have world record holders out there helping me get better while I was competing. So it just, you know, just that sense of just knowing that everybody's supporting you is just, you know, like nothing else.
And can you talk a little bit about how it is different than other sports like, you know, basketball, or you see these young people out there doing like these crazy yoga poses and trying to kick a ball, or, you know, seeing how high and long they can jump. And so what are some of the, you know, differences?
The difference, I mean, just the amount of skill it takes to do any of these games. It's different than basketball. I mean, you just have to be able to control your body in ways that, you know, other sports don't teach you. So it helps if you're, you know, if you're in NYO and you're doing other sports training, it helps with all of the other sports and things like that.
And Jill?
I'd have to say, you know, what I think is different is you'll notice, you know, of course everyone's competing against each other. What I love to see is kids from different teams going and coaching the other athletes and trying to teach them to do better. You don't see that in any other sport. It's absolutely amazing. And like, you know, you're mentioning, you know, using your body and using different body parts that people don't usually use in different sports. I think it's absolutely amazing. I wouldn't dare try that this day, today.
Well, what is your favorite game?
I'd have to say my favorite to watch is either the seal hop or the one-foot high kick, one of my favorite.
My favorite, I guess, would be the one-foot high kick and the toe kick. Those are my favorites to watch.
And the MC and the guests were are on the stage talking to the young people, and something they mentioned was about the importance of these games and, you know, the looking back at tradition and culture, and also that, you know, talking about before contact, before, you know, people came to Alaska and why it's so important for that. Can you share a little bit about that, about the traditional aspect of it and culture?
I would have to say, you know, the games were, you know, made for when, you know, just to get prepared for hunting, for living in the harsh environment that we had to live in, that we had to survive in. And so, you know, that's why these games are harder than, you know, every other sports, because it was about survival. It was about, you know, being prepared if you're outside in a storm, and or if you encounter ice breakup and you have to hop across it. It just, you know, it just gets you prepared for all of that. And, you know, being able to just bring it in, you know, to the teaching the kids now, so they can understand, you know, what skills were needed to just survive back then. So, yeah.
And we did have a chance to speak with Marjorie Taubone, who was the MC for the games, the last games, and she talked about the importance of that. Let's hear what she had to say.
Games are healthy for us. They're healthy for our body, our mind, and our souls, and it really allows us to be happy, healthy, thriving people when we are enriched and with our identity of where we come from. So that's why it's so important to do these games, learn about them, teach them, and continue the legacy of the Native Youth Olympics.
And that was Marjorie Taubone, who was the MC for the last games. And Jill, just your reaction about why it's so important to keep culture and tradition alive.
Well, you know, like, now that everything is so modern, things become more simple. Do you know what I mean? Even whenever it comes to social media, these kind of things, the respect that you have, you know, it doesn't get lost so much, but it's not really known about. So I think events like this really remind kids and, you know, even people that have never seen it, what our ancestors went through back in the day to survive. And it's absolutely amazing. And, you know, putting their bodies to the challenge, they get to sort of put themselves in their ancestors' positions and sort of see what they went through, you know, back in the day.
And anything else to add to what Marjorie was saying?
I think it just gives the kids a sense of pride. You know, if a lot of them, you know, especially if, you know, they grew up here in Anchorage and they're disconnected from their home villages and their home culture, they can kind of compete here and do all of the games and have a sense of pride of who they are, where they came from, and have just the identity part of it, because that's really important for people, especially if they're disconnected from their home villages, I think.
And the theme for this year is the spirit of NYO. What does that mean to you?
To me, you know, just the community, the camaraderie, you know, just everybody helping everybody. It's, you know, this, everybody wants everyone to succeed, because we're stronger when everyone succeeds.
And what about for you, Jill?
I'd have to say probably, you know, the spirit of NYO. Like I said, you walk in here and there's just this energy, and it becomes its own person in a way. It's just, you walk around and you feel it. You become a part of that community, that people, you know, here in over the 3 days, you run into, you know, people, familiar faces and things like that. And it's just an amazing, like I said, it's the energy that I feel that keeps things alive.
And we had a chance to.
Oh, yes. We had a chance, really walk around and get to talk with certain athletes already this morning on our KMBA Facebook page. We interviewed someone from Metlakatla, all these different places. Yeah. And Ashton Meganak is an athlete from Port Graham, and he is 18, and he's doing the Alaska high kick today and a 2-foot high kick tomorrow. And he says today is the most exciting day for him, even though as a graduate, he is also a bittersweet about saying goodbye to the games.
I grew up watching my uncles and aunties competing during state.
All right.
I loved watching them compete, and I always wanted to do NYO ever since I saw them. My favorite part about it is that we all come together, and we're participating together and not apart. And you get to connect with other people and make new friends. And it's not about winning. It's about beating your personal records and improving, not for yourself, but like improving for the others around you, so you could help them out with their form and technique as well. even though I have a hard time talking with other people, it's helped me improve my social life as well. At one point, it was kind of overwhelming, but after being comfortable with others, it's okay now.
Well, we're here at the Native Youth Olympics, and I have some guests today, and the young people are preparing for their games for the next 3 days in Anchorage at the Alaska Airlines Center. And Jill, we just heard from a student that was interviewed this morning. What did you think?
I thought it was incredible. You know, it's bittersweet. I've been there myself, especially if you've participated in all of the years of Native Youth Olympics. It's sort of a bittersweet ending, even though we have WIO. You know, it's still bittersweet because it's not the same environment. It's a different location. I definitely get what he was saying.
And actually, that was Ashton, another student that we were interviewing this morning.
Oh, so, I apologize.
Yeah, no problem. Let's go ahead and hear what Ashton has to say.
it's always exciting to see everyone come around and support each other during these events. I've been doing this for about 3 years. This is my final year of doing NYO. It's going to be sad to graduate because I know I'm just going to be going away from NYO. I'm glad to see my friends starting to come around, and it's sad to see them graduate, but it's good that they can still come spectate throughout the whole event for these next 3 days, 2 days.
And Saluk, can you tell us a little bit about who you're here to support?
Yes, I'm here to support my oldest daughter, Oafluk. This is her senior year, so her final NYO games. And I always like to joke that she's been doing the game since before she was born, because I was pregnant when I was coaching and kind of, you know, participating. I was still young enough to be participating with our athletes. And, you know, before she was, like, born, I was in labor going to practice with her. And then she's born. And for a few years after she was born, I continued to coach with my dad. And so she kind of, you know, has been in the games her whole life, and even competes at WIO. She doesn't like to miss a year. She's been going since she was 11. So yeah.
So doing the 1 foot high kick in your tummy, probably. Yeah.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, she's doing all the games.
And it is like a big family. You hear a lot of people when they come to town, just like, you know, other conferences and big events like the Alaska Federation of Natives and Elders and Youth, that people from across the state get to know each other, see family. Jill, can you comment about why that's also so important?
Well, you know, like coming to the big city, you know, is really exciting for kids, but also knowing that they have their family from their community coming to support them as well. You'll see here in the arena that there's, you know, sections off here of people, you know, from different communities, and you'll hear them cheering whenever they see their team coming on. I think it's just really important, like you said, with AFN and the elders gathering, people flying in. You get that small town support in a bigger city.
And we had Zan Lyman from McGrath shared a little bit of an interview he did and talking about that support. Let's hear what he had to say.
So there are different games that represent life skills that were passed down from generations to generations. And in Native Youth Olympics, students from grade 7 through 12 compete against themselves and other students across Alaska. They're focusing a lot on sportsmanship, because if you did not help your fellow hunter, they would starve, their family would starve. So we kind of, it's a big thing that we incorporate that in our games is sportsmanship.
So you talked about NYO being about passing down traditions from ancestors, because that's what was done way back in the day, helping the neighbor. Give us an example.
Okay, when they do like the wrist carry, it's two students holding a pole, and there's one student in the middle that is holding their weight and stuff on their wrist. and the two students walk with him. This represents two hunters sharing a load.
And so we just heard from, you know, one of the games, what it was about, and just the support and supporting each other. That's also something that's different at NYO, is that everybody's supporting each other. So even though you're competing, you're still supporting. Can you talk about why that's important?
I think it's very important because, you know, it teaches them sportsmanship, you know, and it carries over into other sports, too, where, you know, you're kind of trained to be very competitive and to not be supportive of another team. So it kind of, I can see it in the kids who do NYO, that they kind of bring that over into the other sports that they do, because a lot of these kids, you know, like Nome, Bethel, Kotzebue, and Barrow all compete in the sports like basketball, volleyball, you know, cross country, all the other sports. And so you can see like the friends that are made here at NYO carries over into these other sports, and they are supportive of each other in those other events as well. So,
and can you talk a little bit about also the importance of, you know, having the girls and boys compete next to each other? Sometimes, you know, female athletes maybe feel like they don't get, you know, maybe as much attention as the boys, but at these games, you know, they're competing right next to each other.
Yeah, I think that's important, you know, especially for the boys to kind of see the strength of the girls and what they can accomplish at, you know, in these games. And sometimes they're even better than the boys in some of the events, and they can, you know, see that. And I think it humbles them, and they can, you know, understand the importance of having women and girls do sports and all that together. When I was young, I didn't start NYO until my junior year of high school because I was scared to practice with boys. I was really shy. And then I finally got over it my junior year, and I'm kind of mad that I that I didn't sooner. But once I got started, I was hooked forever. So,
yeah. And Jill?
I'd have to say, you know, whenever it comes to, you know, rolling over into other sports, I actually think it also flows into everyday life. And like you mentioned, you know, the respect that they give to each other, they walk around, and you'll see them walking around. They're wearing different team shirts, so you know they're from different communities, and they're just excited to, you know, to be with each other. And as far as, you know, girls competing with boys, like, I think sometimes they have an advantage. I mean, some of these events take a lot of flexibility and, you know, being limber. And so I think sometimes the girls, they top the boys in some of these events.
And it definitely is an exciting time to see the athletes compete with each other and show that camaraderie and, you know, learning skills that keep on going for a lifetime. What are some of the things that you're still learning from the games, you know, even today as a older, you know, older person and moms with kids?
I would say, you know, you never stop learning if you're, you know, involved, if you come to the games, and if you just, you know, get closer, ask questions, everybody's willing to help you. And so you kind of learn different things about all the games, and you learn things about, you know, where the games originated from. You know, I know some of the originations of some of the games, but I'm always, you know, learning more about it and learning where they came from. And so that's very exciting, just to, you know, come back and know that you're going to learn something new every year.
I'd have to say for me is, you know, looking at the kids, the athletes, there's some times in life whenever you just get, your mind is jumbled and all over the place, and you look at these kids, even if they're overwhelmed, you could see the focus on their face, and they're looking at the big picture, and it's just absolutely amazing. It sort of reminds you to take a breath and, you know, to sort of step back and then, you know, reassess the situation. I love that part of watching this, because it teaches you, even in your adult years, how, you know, patience and focus can really take you a long way.
And there's also like an unofficial game is a sound that is very familiar at the games here, but also, you know, at other places. So we had Rhonda McBride do a special story at the last games about this sound. Let's hear it.
The sound of enthusiastic crowds often fills the air at the Alaska Airlines Center. But at the Native Youth Games, you hear that and more. Although Samuel Meekum perfected the seal call during seal hunts in his hometown of Unalakleet, he's happy to belt it out to a sea of people.
Oh, it's fun. It gets everybody riled up and it gets people's attention. And also, it's like our way of shouting and cheering on your teammates. So like at a track meet, you'd yell at your teammates, right? And like you'd yell their name and say, keep on going, keep on going. But here you would do a seal call.
As the master of ceremonies at the Native Youth Games, Marjorie Tawbone uses the seal call to get the athletes pumped up.
Okay, we do like a two. So I'm going to do two, and then you do two, okay? Ready?
You start off with a low sound, like ooh, and then you learn how to make a high sound, ooh. And then you crack your voice, so ooh, and then you just kind of figure out how to do it, and eventually you're able to go ooh real easy.
Tawbone says seals are naturally curious creatures. Traditionally, hunters use the call to distract them.
The hunters would have to mimic a seal and get as close as they could, close enough to where they could harpoon it.
The seal call was also used to signal hunter success, a joyful sound that Tawbone says helps to bring the sounds of the land and sea into the city.
And that was reporter KMBA reporter Rhonda McBride doing a story about the seal call. What were your thoughts when you heard it?
I don't know. It just makes you happy. And you know you're like amongst other people who are familiar with who you are and where you come from, and it just, I don't know, it's just a happy sound.
Jill?
I love it because when you get one going, you'll hear it from different parts of the gym, like, you know, like, and it's sort of like a communication, like, you know, with them back and forth. I love it. It's the coolest sound ever.
Yeah, and we
you want
heard...
me to, you want me to, like, oh my god. I can't, I don't know how to do it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I have like a little story like of this. Last summer in June, we took my daughter's Girl Scout troop to Europe, and we ended up in Switzerland, and the girls really wanted to go swimming, so they went swimming in this river, and us moms were trying to find them, and we heard kids floating down this river going, and we knew that those were our kids.
It definitely is Alaskan, and you know, I love hearing it. We're, you know, we're in just other sporting events and other places around town.
No, it's definitely become sort of like the sound of Native Youth Olympics, and it's definitely grown. I don't remember this whenever I was in high school, to be honest. I think this is sort of new.
I don't remember it happening.
Yeah.
Really.
What year did you graduate?
02.
02? 04.
Dating yourself now.
Oh, God.
Well, Jill, what are you looking forward to at this year's NYO Games?
Of course, like I mentioned, the 1 foot high kick is definitely my favorite. The blanket toss, that's always a yearly favorite. Everyone looks forward to that. That's tomorrow, I believe. I don't remember what time, like 11 or so. Yeah, but they take this huge, huge piece of like fur, like this blanket, and people go out on the floor and they toss up people all over the place, and it makes my stomach sort of turn. But it's really cool to watch.
Have you done the blanket toss before?
Years ago. I don't like falling, so I don't. I enjoy watching rather than being one of the people being tossed up there.
I don't think I would make it 2 inches off that blanket.
Well, it takes a lot of people and a lot of support to go around and then, you know, use the force to throw people up. And it's really neat when people, you know, can go up there and do like a little, you know, split or kick or something, or even just seeing them, you know, being tossed.
Yeah. And you have to come down at the right way to bend your knees. It's like a sport in itself.
And I think that that's also part of their honoring for the graduates is doing,
yes,
you know, the blanket toss. And what is the significance behind the blanket toss?
I'm not 100% sure, actually. That makes me curious.
Yeah, definitely a fun event to watch and see, and I'm sure the students really enjoy it as well. And they're going to be preparing and getting ready. I saw some students stretching earlier, and you know, it's also part of education that they also will be awarded some scholarships. Some students were picked for some scholarships, and the morning session is really about having the students listen to speakers. There was a welcome address. There was also an all-female drum group from Savunga who did a welcome song and did some songs with the students. And so they're continuing to hear from the speakers. And there was also a video that was shared. And so the students are ready and energized and getting prepared for the day.
Yes, you could see right now on the floor, if you could see where all the students are on the floor, and you could see some of them are mixed and matched with different teams. And they're going to be honoring someone here soon who is actually going to be one of our guests on the show, I believe, Alexi Pleasant. And they're going to be honoring him. And I believe, are they moving off the stage now? We're looking down on the floor right now. People are sort of going off the stage, and people are cheering on right now. It's pretty much, this is gearing up. This is it. This is the start of the 2025 Native Youth Olympics.
Yeah, so they're getting ready to start their competitions. And the other thing about the Native Youth Olympic is the games are not just for the Native students. You know, non-Native students can participate as well. And so that's also, I think, part of the sharing and learning about culture. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think it's very important, you know, that it's opened up to, you know, all cultures and all races, especially at the high school level, because it offers an opportunity for these kids to learn from another culture, to learn from the people, you know where they're at. They learn what it's really about, and I think they learn a lot about the camaraderie, just the supporting each other, and things that they wouldn't necessarily learn somewhere else. So just being involved in this, and you can tell that they really love it, and that they they just love the support. And they just love, being here and learning from the elders and, some people who aren't part of, our Native culture, they get a kusbok or, any, earrings or something like that. And they're just, very excited to wear them. And I can see that, the pride, that they have just in, being gifted something from our culture.
Absolutely. Yeah, with that, with learning different cultures and, even people who are not Alaska Native or Indigenous, it gives them the respect and it educates them as well. And I also, love that even after Native Youth Olympics, it could also go over to different things. I mean, we have Nick Hansen, who did Native Youth Olympics all of his years, and now he is one of the, American Ninja Warriors. And he's going off and doing all these amazing events. This doesn't just end after high school or whatever it is. It could turn into so many different opportunities.
And we have another guest joining us. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yali Da, my name is Aaron Leggett. I have the honor of serving as the president of the Native Village of Aklutna. The Native Village of Aklutna is the only federally and now state-recognized tribe here in the municipality of Anchorage. And it's my honor to welcome all the NYO participants here to Anchorage. It's such a wonderful gathering to see statewide participation, both Native and non-Native, come here and celebrate these games.
And we have to take a really quick, short break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Alaska's Native Voice. Welcome back to Alaska's Native Voice from the Alaska Airlines Center in Anchorage for the 2025 Native Youth Olympics. I'm Antonia Gonzalez, and we are joined with Asaluk Nichols and Jill Freitas and Aaron Leggett. Welcome back. Aaron, right before the break, you were sharing a little bit about giving the welcome. Can you talk about the importance of the games?
Sure. These games were not only done for entertainment, but also for survival. Each one of the games is representative of a certain set of skills that a person would need when they were out on the land, hunting, fishing, that kind of thing. So they were not only, you know, for entertainment, but also to build up muscle memory and the ability to thrive in these challenging environments.
And also just to keep up your health and wellness during the winter, can you talk a little bit about that? Maybe, you know, being able to play the games indoors when the conditions are harsh outside?
Yeah, certainly. You know, during some of the coldest, darkest times of the year, when you're not able to go out, the ability to stay conditioned and also, I think, just mental health is a big part of it as well.
And there are also a lot of events that take place here in Anchorage, you know, like the Alaska Federation of Natives Elders and Youth Conference. Where does NYO fall in the annual celebration of Alaska Native culture tradition?
Well, I think NYO is typically done in the spring and then followed by in the summer, the World Eskimo Indian Olympics. It takes place up in Fairbanks. And then in the fall, in October, you have the Alaska Federation of Natives, which is the largest gathering of indigenous people in the state that come together every October.
And as a leader, as a, you know, there's a lot of young people here. They're learning leadership skills. They're, you know, taking part and encouraging each other. How do games like this help young people, you know, maybe they are going to be future leaders themselves? They're already young, you know, youth leaders.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's clearly demonstrated. In the film, we saw Reggie Jewell, who was one of the early, I guess, ambassadors for Native Native games, and it took him all the way to The Tonight Show and Johnny Carson. But then later in life, Reggie was actually a state senator for many years in Alaska. So I think the games themselves create, you know, they keep kids in school. It gives them something to thrive for. I think the really exciting thing about NYO to me, though, is that it's not just for Native students, but it's all students. And so I think it creates bonds in schools. It breaks down some of the, I guess, racial barriers and that kind of thing. I think it's really powerful, and I think it's kind of amazing that we don't have more opportunities in our school system, in our state, which is woefully underfunded, to be able to really incorporate Alaska Native traditions and values and culture into all of the Alaska schools. It's kind of ironic that gym, which is most people think is sort of the least important part of going to school, is actually the one that has embraced Alaska Native culture the most across the state.
And you did mention the racial barriers, and, you know, there's always work to work on breaking those racial barriers. And, you know, especially it's a tough climate out there right now for a lot of people, especially looking at schools changing with the, you know, new administration policies coming out. What are your thoughts on that, Aaron?
Well, again, I think this is a prime example where, you know, diversity and equity and inclusiveness can actually be a positive. It clearly shows where when you break down those barriers, it can lead towards a better understanding, to appreciation, and it's not something to be feared, but it's actually something to be celebrated. And I think this is a perfect example, again, because NYO is open to all students in Alaska, regardless of race. It's a way for them to get an insight into the culture that they wouldn't get any other way. And again, I think it creates bonds and alliances and friendships that will be lasting for a lifetime.
When it comes to, you know, watching these athletes and whatever comes to confidence and things like that, what are some things that you've noticed in all these years in watching this that you see happen to athletes even whenever they start out and as they go on in their school years?
Well, I think one of the things I've seen at this gathering is that it's, yes, it is a competition, but it's really about lifting each other up. What you'll see is, you know, you might have the world record holder showing somebody, oh, you could do it better. Or, oh, if you lift here, you kick, in telling them how to improve their techniques because they want to see that person reach their full potential. And that's very different than what you'd see like in, say, the Olympics or in other gatherings. So really what this is about is it's about helping people achieve, you know, their full potential and really raising everybody up. If everybody's raised up, then it's a success.
Saluk, can you tell me about some of your experiences that you've had with the team here and even with your daughter, what it's like and what do you notice about them whenever they come here and whenever they leave?
I just notice, you know, that they're happy. My daughter, she's really funny because her face is always just so serious. All the time, everyone asks her why she's mad. And you could just see, you know, here, like, now she's just waking up right now. I took a picture of them earlier, and I was just like, oh, she's just a ray of sunshine. But, you know, you could see her as the day goes on. She gets happier and happier just, you know, being around people that are supporting her, just, you know, being around her friends, you know, learning and just having a good time. So you could tell her mood improves so much just being here. And, you know, she's already a confident kid. I don't know where that came from, but I think it's all just her. She's just very confident in, you know, her abilities and what she can do. And so that kind of, this brings it out even more. And I can see, you know, when she's done, that she's very proud of, you know, herself and what she's accomplished.
And do you think that could be attributed to Native Youth Olympics as far as her confidence, you know, saying that she's very, you know, very confident?
Yeah, I think it does. You know, she's been doing it for so long that, you know, she's used to it, and she's kind of been in tune to how her body works and, you know, what she can accomplish with it. So I think that, you know, just being submersed in this environment for so long has helped create a more confident kid.
And that is great to see, just, you know, the happiness and everything and all the students having fun, especially when, you know, there are so many hard issues that we talk about that young people face here across in Alaska, across the state. And so it is good to see, you know, young people come together and get to come out of their shells. And Aaron, did you play the games?
No, not really. When I worked at the Alaska Native Heritage Center during the summer, they made us demonstrate a few of the games to our visitors. So I can do like the 1 foot high kick and the 2 foot high kick, not very well, but I can do them. So.
Well, and what are you, when you see the games, Aaron, what do you look forward to?
What's my favorite one, or just overall?
Both.
Well, I think again the 1 foot high kick, the Alaskan high kick, 2 foot high kick are up there. I don't think they do the ear pull here, but that's a cool one to see at WIO. It's not for the squeamish. Stick pull. Grease pole. I don't think they do that one here, but yeah, I would say definitely. I mean, for people that are into athletics, you know, seeing the 1 foot high kick or the 2 foot high kick, you know, there's been NBA basketball stars that are just marveling at what these guys can do. So.
And Saluk, what are some other games that your students and your daughter participate in?
My daughter is on, we kind of formed a new team this year from Nome. There's stuff that went on that we decided that we were going to form a new team. And so my daughter, her friend Alana, and her cousin Dylan are all on a team that we got sponsored by the King Island Native Community. They decided the team name was Uhivagmiut Anekdotit, which is King Island, you know, Eskimo games. And they, so they're competing. So there's only the two girls and one boy. And so the girls, they basically split the events between each other. So they're very busy this this weekend. I know she's doing, today she's doing the wrist carry and the Alaskan high kick. Tomorrow she's doing the scissor broad jump. She might be doing the 2-foot high kick. I'm not sure. That's a big list. And then on Saturday, I'm pretty sure she's doing the seal hop and the 1-foot high kick. Alana Johnson is doing the toe kick right now for our team.
And do you have family back home that you have to give updates to? Is there some kind of like text message chain or something?
Yes. So my mom, all my aunts. My dad is here. He's coaching, coaching our team. So he's good. I don't have to update him, but he would be one that we would have to update if he wasn't here. And my husband, let him know how his daughter's doing. And, we have 6 kids total. So I've got 5 kids at home to update on how she's doing. And, my friends, one of them lives here and the other is coming. Her son is, Dylan, who's on our team. So they'll be here to watch. So it'll be fun to kind of go through this with them.
And can you tell us a little bit, share a little bit about King Island, and why it's important to have representation here at the games?
Yeah. So King Island, that nobody lives there anymore. I think like in the early or late 60s is when the last family moved off the island. So it's an abandoned island. We were forced to relocate to Nome. And I think there's a total of 4 tribes that were forced to relocate to Nome, and King Island is one of them. So, I think it's important to have them, be represented, especially because, my daughter is a descendant of King Island, and so is her cousin. And just to kind of put it out there, that we're still here, even though we were forced to relocate, and, that we're still proud of our culture and where we come from and the strength that has been instilled in us from being a part of this culture.
And Jill, can you share a little bit about where you're from? And I'm sure, just the importance of also having representation.
Absolutely. I am from St. Paul Island, which is one of the Pribilof Islands in the middle of the Bering Sea, very far away from here. I moved here about 2.5 years ago, and I used to participate in Native Youth Olympics. Unfortunately, they don't have a team back in St. Paul right now that hasn't been coming out here, but I think that it would be absolutely amazing. It was something that really gave us this sense of camaraderie, with one another. There wasn't a lot of students, but I just remember coming together and being very excited to be a part of this whole thing, flying off a small little island to come here and participate in all these events. It's an experience to be had, and so I'm very sad that we haven't been able to, but, being able to represent your community is what I think is one of the major things that you'll see here, is people walking around with their banners and their shirts. They're very proud of where they come from.
And Aaron, can you share a little bit about why representation matters?
Well, so as I said earlier, the Native Village of Aklutin is the only federally, now state-recognized tribe in the municipality of Anchorage. And we have about a little over 300 tribal members. And Anchorage has a population of about 300,000. And so when I grew up in Anchorage, there was no talk of Dena'ina people. There was very little outside of maybe a few artifacts at the Anchorage Museum. And so the work that I do during the day as the senior curator of Alaska history and indigenous cultures at the Anchorage Museum is all about representation and trying to find ways to tell the story of this place. When I started working at the Heritage Center, I was surprised how many Alaska Natives who had grown up in Anchorage had no idea that there was a tribe in Anchorage, and I realized it's because there was no representation, signage, land acknowledgments. Those things really didn't exist outside of maybe at AFN every couple of years. They might remember to do one.
And there has been some of some of that representation. Can you share some of that, like whether it is signage or whether it is, you know, you go around to a lot of events, both native and non-native, to talk about this?
Sure, yeah. So, you know, Cook and the Tribal Council, who's a big advocate for the work that I do, they're building in Anchorage, their headquarters, where Kwanic broadcasts out of, is called Natuch. It means our special place, or literally our piece of ground. It was the first building in Anchorage to have a Dena'ina name. And because of the work that went on with that and some other things here at the University of Alaska Anchorage, where I graduated, we were able to persuade the Anchorage Assembly to name our new $110 million Civic and Convention Center the Dena'ina Center. And because of that, it kind of opened up people's eyes. And so there's an increasing amount of recognition of who the Dena'ina are, and I have the opportunity to do a lot of welcomes and working on projects like the Indigenous Place Name Marker Project, where we're putting up a series of 32 interpretive monuments throughout the Anchorage Bowl, telling about Dena'ina places and Dena'ina history, and then other things that I do at the museum. It goes on and on.
Well, thanks for sharing that and talking about revitalization. It's even coming from the young people, from the students. Last year, the toe kick and other events started happening every year because the athletes wanted it. And does this mean that the games are growing in size and popularity? What do you think?
I think they definitely are. You know, when I first started, we were over in the UAA gym, which was a lot smaller space. And, you know, we saw the Origins video where that, you know, it was just in a smaller, even smaller gym and not very many competitors. And I don't think there was very many when I was, you know, when I was in it. And, you know, we kind of grew. And as I was coaching, we kind of outgrew that space. And now we're in the Alaska Airlines Center, and it's filled with so many athletes. It's so fun to see.
Where are we going to go after this? It just seems to be growing. When you're talking about events added on, you know, we were talking about the ear pull and how that's not, you know, part of that. When we were in high school, they had this event called the leg wrestling, and they don't do that anymore. And I can actually tell you a story, my personal story. Whenever I was competing in high school, I was going against this girl. And, you know, what you do is you lay opposite each other on the floor and you put your middle legs up and you sort of like lock them together. And the goal is to roll the other person over, and whoever does wins. Well, I was kind of twiggy whenever I was younger, and the girl that I went against was a lot bigger than I was. And she flipped me over so fast. But what happened was my neck was still tucked underneath my body and I was on my stomach. And I heard this little click, and I actually had to be sent out to Anchorage. It was a very scary situation. So some of these things they're serious.
What was that game called?
Leg wrestling.
Maybe Jill and I can go and show them how to leg wrestle.
I'm still traumatized.
But also going along with the representation and bringing back the games and some of the games that are not being played here, we had mentioned the World Eskimo Indian Olympics, but also these games have been shared, you know, out of Alaska. They're being played recently. They were in Southeast Alaska, but also they've been to coaches and students have been to Haskell Indian Nations University in Lawrence, Kansas, and to the Santa Fe Indian School in New Mexico from my neck of the woods. Erin, what are your thoughts on, you know, having these games expanded across Indian country?
Well, I think it's really exciting. And also, every 4 years, there's the Arctic Winter Games, and a component of, I mean, Arctic Winter Games covers a lot of things, but one section of it are the various native games that are played. So, like, for example, the 1 foot high kick and the 2 foot high kick are done all throughout the Arctic. You know, there's other ones like that. So, you know, there's sort of, you started NYO and then with WIO, you have to be Alaska Native. But then, like, the pinnacle is to get a gold medal at Arctic Winter Games because you're competing against people from Alaska, Canada, Greenland, and the Nordic countries, I think, have participated historically. And maybe even at one point, there was like one or two Russian teams, I do believe. But anyways, right now I would say Alaska, Canada, and Greenland in particular.
And there's also the importance of language and, you know, looking at these games about subsistence. We talked a little bit about that. Can you share, you know, are these, as students are learning about this, are these still being used in communities today?
The games, were they still being used?
Just the aspect of, you know, hunting and fishing.
Oh,
and
yeah, certainly.
Skills.
I mean, I don't think it's not quite the same. People aren't out there jumping from icebergs to icebergs unless maybe their snowgo breaks down or something, but it's still important. But I think some of them, you know, like a good example, it's not really a game necessarily, but it is sort of tied to that, is the blanket toss. And, you know, that's still used at community celebrations, especially during Kiviuk whaling celebrations and that community gatherings, that type of thing. So, yeah, I think in general, they're still a component. Perhaps it's not directly tied to survival in the same way it used to be, but.
We were actually just talking about the blanket toss, and we didn't know where it originated or for the purpose of it. Do you know any kind of history behind it?
Yeah, my understanding is that what it was used for is it was a way of locating villages, or as a way of communicating like a successful hunt to go from one camp to the other. So they'd send somebody up in the air, and they'd motion, hey, we got a whale, or they would be, you know, as a way of transmitting information over a distance, or being able to see into the distance where they were going or where the village was located. You know, in the wintertime, in a lot of northern communities, when the snow's there, it's very hard to tell where the village was. So the one thing they would have would be a set of the lower jawbones of a bowhead whale to kind of mark an important location. Sometimes it was a cemetery, but sometimes it was marking the village. So they'd send somebody up, they'd look way out there. Or if they're looking way out on the ice, if they're trying to spot, you know, whales and that kind of thing.
That's actually very, it makes so much sense. I learned something new today. Thank you so much for letting us know that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And Saluk, you know, same kind of question about connecting it back to your community.
Just being able to, you know, because after I competed, you know, I was asked to coach, I think a year or two after I graduated from high school, and I can see, you know, just the ladies that I coach, you know, I coached Marjorie Tabone, and, you know, to see where she's at today and all she's done for our culture and, you know, just the cultural revitalization that she's been a part of. And her sister, Vanessa, I coached her as well, and she's coaching my daughter now. So, you know, she's known her since she was an infant. And so just to see everything come full circle, for me is kind of the best part.
And what are your hopes for NYO, you know, looking into the future?
Looking into the future, you know, my hope is, you know, especially in Nome, you know, NYO has kind of gotten the short end of the stick, you know, in practicing spaces. You know, as a coach with my dad, we were always kind of, you know, put into closets, put into different places. And so we really had to fight for a bigger space to practice in and, you know, just to be respected as, you know, as a sport. And, you know, today we still see some of those, some of that pushback. And I would, you know, really love to see more people get involved in it and to kind of have more preference to NYO than to basketball. I know that's pushing it because basketball's it's a big thing. And, you know, you and I play basketball. And I chose to play basketball my senior year over going to Arctic Winter Games. I wish I hadn't. But, you know, just to have, I think, a push to show that, you know, it is important, and that, you know, we respect it. And I hope to see it grow even bigger, especially in Nome and our surrounding communities.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And, yes, I come from a big basketball family, so I know basketball is, you know, even watching it all the time. So, and, Jill, what are your hopes for NYO looking in the future?
Well, sort of to piggyback off of, you know, you're coming full circle. When you walk in here, you see people of all ages here. You see little toddlers, babies, and then we also have an elders section at the top where elders get to, like, they're like their own little – little stage, you know, the own little special thing. You know, you never really, NYO never really leaves you. Like you said, you used to participate and now you're a coach. You know, people sometimes they'll become one of the volunteers. It just becomes a part of who you are, and it's something that you never really outgrow. It just, you know, you grow with it, and it's, you get to change different roles in it. That's what I love about it.
And Aaron, what are your hopes for NYO in the future?
Well, I'd like to see it continue to grow. I mean, I think I'd love to see it outgrow the Alaska Airlines Center and go to the Sullivan Arena. I think that would be really exciting. Or maybe even into the Denina.
Well, thank you all for joining us. We just have about just a couple more minutes left on our broadcast this afternoon. Anything else, Asalik, you would like to say?
Just thank you for having me. I came in here today just wanting to watch my daughter and got asked to participate, and it was I really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed our conversations that we had, and you know, learn new things, and and just thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. And Jill, what is your outlook as, you know, you're going to be covering this? You've already talked to some athletes. What's the rest of your couple days look like for coverage?
I'm doing athlete and coach highlights, and what I love to see is kids coming in. Sometimes they're freshmen, sometimes they're seniors, and what I like to do is track down some of the athletes that I've interviewed before just to see how much they've grown, not just, you know, physically, but, you know, with their confidence and their endurance and things like that. It's one of my favorite things to do.
And Aaron, we have about less than a minute left. Just any final thoughts?
Yeah, my final thoughts are I just want to say that I want to thank Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation for doing this coverage of the Native Youth Olympics. I think this is a perfect example of the power of public media and how important it is in Alaska, especially as we see threats to public broadcasting. This is a wonderful service that is provided, and it's a perfect example of how this information is communicated out throughout the entire state of Alaska and is only going to be covered by an organization like Kiwanis or public media to really get out that information for people who can't travel hundreds or sometimes thousands of miles. They're able to connect to this and hear their kids or grandkids or brothers and sisters and feel a part of this wonderful statewide gathering.
Well, thank you, Aaron, and thank you for your thoughts. And definitely, as a longtime Native American journalist and coming up and being able to, you know, tell stories and share information, it is very vital that we continue this coverage. So I really appreciate your words, Aaron, and thank you to the guests and our listeners. Thank you to Jill, Emily Schwing, our producer, Van, and Aloyna Nyden, who provided audio. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Alaska's Native Voice, live at NYO, produced by KMBA News and Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation.